Wonderful. The reading this evening is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 17. I'll give you a minute to find that. 10 to 17. Did I say 2? 10 to 17. It's on the screen. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Thanks, Rob. Good evening, everyone. It's lovely to be with you and to be able to dive into these famous words in 2 Timothy. Do keep that passage open on page 1197. Let's pray as we come to this passage together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that by your Spirit you speak to us in your word and that you reveal yourself to us. We pray that you would help us to listen despite all of the noise of the world around us. Would you make us more like Jesus as we do so? Would you build us up for your glory? Amen. Well, what is the purpose of this book? Why would you read it? Some people might say that it is nothing more than a fairy story which can make you feel a little bit better about life, but nothing more. Others might see it as an interesting historical and sociological document that we can learn about ancient peoples from, but which doesn't have much to say now. People might say that it is so corrupted from the original.
Lots of people will say lots of different things about the Bible, and I could go on. But what is the purpose of Scripture? Or to look at it from a different angle, what should we expect to get out of the Bible when we read it? Well, over the last few weeks, we've seen the example of Mary sitting at the Lord's feet, choosing the better thing, while Martha, her sister, is running around being distracted by good things, but not listening to Jesus. And last week with Rob, we heard the danger of the spiritual mobile phone walk, the call to encourage each other to keep heading towards the rest that is promised, and not to be diverted from that path. And Rob has titled this short series, Hearing God in a Noisy World. Hearing God in a Noisy World. And it is, isn't it, a noisy world? The world is full of people saying that they know a better way. People saying that sticking with old-fashioned beliefs just puts people off church. To try and get them in the doors, we should move with the times instead. Or people saying that I don't need the Bible because God will speak to me directly. And while we're here, here's this new thing that he's told me. Well, Timothy, who Paul is writing this letter to, would have understood the noisiness of the world. Paul, his mentor and father figure, was in prison because of his faith at this point when he was writing this letter. the secular world would have been saying that you don't want anything to do with that criminal and the crucified man that he calls Lord. The religious world would be telling him to move on. Paul got us going, but now we should find somewhere else, not stick with that man who is going nowhere. In fact, you can have the good life now. There's no need to wait and suffer. And the church that Timothy's trying to lead in Ephesus, they were wavering between all of that and arguing among themselves. Paul is confident about the truth, and he wants Timothy to stick with it. That's what this letter is all about. And verse 14 in chapter 3 that we read is a key instruction in the whole letter. Continue in what you have learnt. Continue. Continue because you know those from whom you've learnt it, Paul, Timothy's mother and grandmother, who we met earlier in the letter, others. That's why Paul reminds Timothy of the things that he's been through in the first couple of verses that we read. But we don't have time to go further into that today. Continue in what you've learnt and continue with Scripture. When Timothy is facing what he's facing, the temptation could be to abandon the Bible, or at least to twist it to his own purposes. Some of his opponents would have been doing just that. They would have been quoting lots of different passages to prove their own point. And Timothy might be wondering, could the Bible really be trustworthy if others are making it say different things? Some others of his opponents might respect him more if he was able to come up with some fancy arguments that sound good in the debating chamber, rather than relying on a crusty old book. Paul wants Timothy to know that the Bible is the single resource that he needs to keep going in a noisy world. And that's what we're going to focus on this evening. We're going to see two things about the purpose of Scripture, which, if we get it right, will help us read it better and get more out of it. Two things. Scripture makes us wise for salvation, and Scripture equips us for good works. First, Scripture makes us wise for salvation. Have a look at verse 14 again. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, Timothy, we're told in Acts, had a Greek father and a Jewish Christian mother. And it was her that would have made it her job to teach him the Scriptures, probably from age 5. Now, he wasn't a scholar like Paul was, but in actual fact, he understood what he read much better than Paul had done at a similar age. It's probably obvious to say that it's possible to read something and completely miss its purposes. Some of you will know that I moved just before Christmas, and so the last few months have been filled with building lots of flat pack furniture. And of course, the first thing you see when you open up the package is the instructions on the top. And for some of you, those are probably just another part of the packaging to chuck in the bin. Some of you might have a quick flick through, get the general gist of what's going on, and then build it yourself, hoping that there aren't any screws left over at the end. But others will open it up, go step by step, checking each instruction, which is its purpose, isn't it? And if you do that, you're far more likely to end up with a piece of furniture that stands the test of time. That is what the instructions are there for. Its purpose is to help you build the furniture. Paul grew up reading the Scriptures, but missed their purpose. He studied them deeply, And he found rules and traditions, things to try and force his way to being pleasing to God. He used them to attack Christians, and in the end, his heart was only hardened towards God. Timothy was shown the same scriptures by his mother, and he saw Jesus. He read God's promises of a Savior and trusted that they were for him. This is what the Bible is for. Its purpose is to make us wise for salvation. Sure, we can look at the world and see that maybe there is a God of some kind. We can see that things aren't perfect. But only the Bible has the full story of our hopelessness, of Jesus' perfection, his death and resurrection, his offer of life to those who repent and believe. Only in the Bible is Jesus promised, revealed, and made known. Which means that if that is its purpose, we should read it expectantly. Every book of the Bible that we open up will tell us something about the salvation that God offers. We should read it expecting to find that as we do so. The Bible makes us wise for salvation, which means that it is all that we need. It means that we don't need to get to the next level of knowledge, that there isn't any higher knowledge to be found, locked away behind some secret society. The Bible is all that we need. It tells us everything that we need to be saved. And it means that we shouldn't change it. It is God's word which is powerful for salvation. We shouldn't add anything to it or take anything away. Then it is no longer God's word, it's our word. And we see throughout history that our words are not powerful to save. Now, it's probably worth saying at this point that it isn't the Bible itself that Paul says is doing the saving. We've seen throughout this term that God is inextricably connected to his word, and that Jesus is that word made flesh. But the Bible is not God. The Bible, through the Holy Spirit, is what allows us to know God and his salvation in Jesus. And it's also worth pointing out that the scripture, the Holy Scriptures that Paul talks about here, is going to mainly mean the Old Testament. Some of Paul's letters were probably, at this point, starting to be regarded as scripture. But much of the New Testament is still being written at this point, which should probably transform our view of the Old Testament somewhat. It's probably going a little bit far to say that the New Testament is just the DVD extras. Clearly, it's incredibly important. It has much to tell us about the person of Jesus and how to live for him. But if your question is simply, how can I be saved? And the answer is already there before you get to Matthew 1, verse 1. A Savior is promised. Those who repent and believe are saved. So then, what would it look like to read the Old Testament, not just as some background context to help us understand the New Testament better, not as stories of a people long time ago in a land far away, but reading it as containing everything that we need to make us wise for salvation? And how might this affect how we hold out our faith to those who don't know Jesus yet? As we've already mentioned, Passion for Life gets going in the next week. And as it does so, what is it that you think your friends need to be saved? A sign from heaven? Some inarguable evidence for God that you can point to, an unbeatable debating point. All of those would be great, but all that they actually need is right here already. Which means all that you need to do is help them to get it open. Whether that's with you, alongside them, whether it's with someone else preaching at one of the events that will be going on, or whether it's on their own, without you even knowing that they've done so, but prompted by you. Scripture makes us wise for salvation. That's one purpose. There's another one too that Paul mentions. Scripture equips us for good works. Scripture equips us for good work. If Timothy is persuaded to stick with Paul and the Bible and Jesus, to continue with what he started in, what about his church? When the noisy world is pulling them in all sorts of directions, what is going to keep them living for God? Well, Paul has an answer for that too. Have a look at verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's not two separate resources, it's one resource. The same Bible which leads to salvation is what will keep us going. There's lots that we could say about teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But at the very least, it's worth seeing that there is a positive and a negative here. The Bible shows us the right way to go in instruction, as it gives us commands like love your neighbor. And in example, as we see many characters following God, as Paul himself shows in verse 10 and 11. But we're also shown the wrong way, the consequences of turning from God's word. This is just what Timothy needs as he leads a church that needs shepherding in the right direction, and as he faces those who are trying to deceive. Teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. There is no need for him to try and figure out his own way of growing his church's faith. There is no need to try and compete with the false teachers in promising wealth and happiness. Timothy has already been equipped with everything that he needs for every good work, that is to lead his church in the right way. The Bible is all that he needs. Well, how can it be all that he needs, you might ask? How can it continue to be so for all people in all time? Well, it's because that all of it is God-breathed. Did you see that? And that might seem a slightly odd phrase to us, but it immediately takes us back to Genesis chapter 2, when God breathed life into Adam. He takes dust, breathes into it, and he breathes life into dust and makes it into something living. And actually, the word that is used for spirit throughout the Bible is the same as the word for breath. So we see that through the Holy Spirit, God took the words of humans writing at a specific time to a specific people and made them his words. Words that are alive and that are powerful for all of us. And there's more that could be said about that, so you might want to ask some questions in the Q&A. But it is that scripture is God-breathed, which gives the Bible its authority over us now. Those who want us to move with the times, who think that what God says is good and bad, right and wrong, is different now to what it was in the past, they deny that God is unchanging. They say that, or they imply anyway, that he is incapable of knowing the future. But a changing God is not a God that you can trust. God doesn't change, and so neither does what he breathes out, his word. He gave his word knowing completely the situation that we face now, what we would need to be equipped to live for him. Now, yes, we should work to understand the context of the human writer. That's important. It is still a human book. But that is to help us to better understand the point and not a get-out-of-jail card to avoid doing what it says. It is breathed out by God and has his authority. The Bible is God-breathed, which means that it is useful today. When we're wondering how to keep going in a noisy world, it is the Bible that we should look to. That's what will teach us at the right path. So this training, correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, this is what we should expect Rob and others who teach us to be doing, to be using the Bible to point us in the right direction and to warn us from wrong. So when we come to sit under these teachers, whether that's on a Sunday or at any other point, we should be looking for that to happen. A sermon isn't merely a motivational speech to get us through the next week. It is there to equip us for good works through the Bible. And these things can show us too those who aren't teaching faithfully, those who would use the Bible for their own purposes and not God's. Those who teach to gather power and authority to themselves and rebuke to hold on to that power. Now, sadly, this is all too common, and it has recently been revealed in churches that would look very similar to ours. People who would claim to value the Bible, but instead use it to further themselves and not the people that they lead. And finally, it's what we should expect when we read the Bible for ourselves. If we read a passage and come away from it merely validated in what we already think, rather than challenged and changed in some way or another, we've probably not understood it very well. So when you come to a passage, these could be some helpful questions to ask. How does this passage teach me, rebuke me, correct me, or train me in righteousness? How does this equip me for every good work? That's Scripture's second purpose. Together, these two things, making us wise for salvation and equipping us for good works, give us everything that we need to survive in this noisy world. If we know that God's purpose for the Bible is those two things, then as we read it, we can look for him achieving that purpose in us. We can see over time our understanding growing of God's salvation and his grace to us. And we can see our growth in righteousness too. So, hearing God in a noisy world, despite everything the world around us tells us, all the different opinions pulling us in different directions, there is one way to hear God, through the Bible. If we come to it with the right posture, sitting under it, ready to hear, with the right priority, not doing that mobile phone walk, but heading to the rest that is promised, then it will achieve God's purpose to make us wise for salvation and to equip us for good work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have your word breathed out and given to us through the human writers. We thank you that it has everything that we need. Help us to trust it. Help us to rely on it, to counter all these noisy distractions that we face. And would you achieve its purposes in us to make us wise for salvation and to equip us for good works. In Jesus' name and for his glory we pray. Amen.
Let's start off with, this is a good question to get us going on. Mm. Timothy didn't have the Bible as we do. This part of the Bible was a letter he received. Does this reading refer to our Bible? So this, everything that we've been looking at tonight.
Mm. Great, yeah. So as I mentioned, that when Paul was writing, the scriptures he's referring to would suddenly be mostly the Old Testament. It's hard to know, you know, exactly which bits of the New Testament were kind of in circulation as being, this is scripture. But as we look elsewhere in the New Testament, we can see that it was quite quickly acknowledged that particularly Paul's letters were part of Scripture and so would be included in what Paul writes. So Peter, in his letter, says that people find reading Paul's letters difficult, which is always an encouraging thing, I think, when we struggle. But he calls them scriptures when he does that. Which shows us that the apostles were happy to call the New Testament scripture and give it the same authority as the Old Testament. So as we look a little bit wider in the Bible, we see that it is indeed referring to everything that we have.
And not just any old apostle, like Peter, big cheese.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Peter's the one saying, Paul's tricky to understand.
Yeah. Brilliant. We've got a question that's pointing us to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, and it's asking, does it contradict verse 16? So it says this, He, God, has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. Is that undoing what Paul is saying here?
Well, of course, it's Paul that's writing 2 Corinthians as well, so he's probably not going to contradict himself. It's been a while since I've spent a little time in 2 Corinthians, so I think all I'm going to say for now is to read the context of that verse. You'll see a little bit higher up in verse 3 that actually there is a good letter, that the Corinthians themselves are a letter from Christ. And so Paul in this section is talking about two different kinds of letter. There is a letter that gives life and a letter that kills. And so what we're talking here in 2 Timothy is the letter that gives life, that is given by the Spirit. Does that help?
Yeah, I think the sort of issue going on in Corinth that Paul's writing into there, that they're really sort of proud church, they're a bit snobbish and aren't even really sort of paying that much attention to what Paul is saying, they're really sort of tribal almost about sort of who they're going to listen to or not listen to, and they clearly asked, like, well, where are your letters that, you know, prove that you're the real deal? And that sort of letter is the letter that kills, the sort of earthly proof. I think that's what he's getting at there.
Yeah, helpful, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, this is our top voted question.
Okay.
So, chosen by you guys. As all scripture is God-breathed, how come there are so many versions, and by extension, so many interpretations by publishers and preachers?
Okay, great. Yeah, really helpful question. I think it's because it is... the Bible has these two... characteristics, that it is God-breathed, but it is also written by humans. So it was written in the languages of the day, so Hebrew and Greek, and anyone that has done any translation can tell you that translating things between languages is not a simple task.
It's all good to me.
Very good. There is never a one-to-one relationship between words in different languages. That means that there are different ways of translating the originals into English that we can understand. But actually, that is a good thing. And it means that we're really blessed in English, that we have lots of different versions that we can compare and see different things, things that will understand the original language in slightly different ways and pick up different nuances. Whereas you contrast that with other religions, for instance, Islam, that say the word of God was revealed to Muhammad in Aramaic, was it? That is the pure word of God and cannot be corrupted. But it has then been copied many times. And so any changes in the Quran mean that it is no longer the word of God. Whereas for us, the Bible can still be the word of God, even when it's translated, because the Holy Spirit is working through Christians to bring it to us ourselves. I think be encouraged that there's lots of translations that God speaks to us in our own language. I think it's a good thing.
And it's useful to know as well, isn't it, that translators, they set out with different objectives. So some will want to be as literal as possible, but sometimes strange syntax can be. but then you get others on the other end of the spectrum, which, you know, we've said sometimes the Bible can be hard to understand, that make it as easy English as possible. And that's a great thing too, to be able to have in the back pocket.
Yeah. One of the things that we've been looking at Unite Plus the last sort of half term has been how we can read the Bible. And one of the tools that we have is to look at different translations. If there's a word in English that we don't understand, or we don't understand how the Bible uses it, we can go to another translation, and it might give a different translation of that word, which picks up a slightly different nuance of the original, and that can help us to understand the passage better.
Yeah. How about, you can hear, thank you for preaching to us this evening, but we could hear another sermon on the same passage, and it could be quite different. How would you respond to that part of that question?
The Bible is incredibly rich, isn't it? It is written in a way. So a passage is going to have a main point that we would talk about, that is why the author has written it. There are lots of other things that the author is saying as well. As Bible teachers, what we're trying to do is get to that main point, the thing that the author really wants to say. We're not in the author's head. We're going to come at it in different angles and come to slightly different conclusions. Hopefully, we're all heading in the same direction. And if we're heading in wildly different directions, we need to work out why that is and correct ourselves. Part of the work of the Spirit is that the Bible is alive and God speaks through it, and he's going to speak differently depending on our situation and what we need at that time. And so the Bible is powerful in that way.
Yeah, I don't know about you, I'd be a bit worried if a book that claimed to be breathed out by an eternal and almighty God was really simplistic and I could get it one quick read through. Basically, the Mr. Men are the only books that get to it on the first read-through. So,
yeah.
I like that God is bigger than Mr. Men.
Yeah. But that isn't to say that you need some great learning, lots of training to understand. It is also simple enough that anyone can understand. It contains all that we need for salvation without any additions to it.
Shallow enough to paddle, but deep enough for an elephant to swim. I'll give you £1 if you can tell me who said that. If all scripture is God's word or God-breathed, then how is it also written by men and written to specific people? Why does the writing of one man become God's word? Good question.
Yeah, great. So I think we've started to talk about this a little bit. It is both these things. So we've seen tonight that, it is God-breathed. But just by the nature of the fact that it is, we're reading a letter, we're given personal details, Paul goes on in chapter 4 to tell Timothy to bring his scrolls when he comes. It is a human a letter. I think it is that God-breathed that it is kind of key to understanding how that happens. Paul set out to write a letter to Timothy with a specific aim, and he knew that he had been appointed apostle. He knew that he was certainly some of what he was going to write was going to be scripture. Whether he knew the specific letter, we don't know. But as he writes, God breathes into what he does. Like I said in Genesis, God breathes into dust and out comes a living man. God breathes into the words that Paul writes and makes them come alive, turns them into his words.
Yeah. And 2 Peter's helpful again, isn't it? Because it talks about how the authors of the Bible are carried along by the Spirit. It's quite a vivid picture, isn't it, as they write the scriptures. And so, yeah, it is a human thing, but it's a God thing.
Mm. Yes, and the second part of that question, why does the writing of one man become God's word? Because that's how God has chosen to work. We saw right at the start of the term, I think, that God chooses to act through his word. It is key that is how he creates in Genesis, and he chooses to make it his word that acts so that we can know him. Without him revealing himself to us, we can't know anything about God. And so he chooses to use his word, and he chooses to use people to do that, because he's graceful in that way.
It's also not just one guy, is it? Well, you get various bits of the Bible where, like Ecclesiastes at the end, isn't there, that you get that little bit that someone else has written.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yes, there are lots of different authors, yeah.
Great. I think we're probably going to have to draw stumps there. Really sorry if we didn't quite get to your question, but thank you, Tim.
Come and grab me at coffee if you want further answers. Great, thanks, Alex.
Thank you.